blessed. What a precious privilege it is to enjoy the sweet blessings that the Lord send down to the sanctified home. I've experienced a lot of joyous things in my life. I was raised in a very happy home. The Lord, when I got grown, gave me a happy home. The joys of fatherhood, the joys of seeing jobs accomplished and things like that. I've had the opportunity to look at some of the beautiful things that God has created. But there's nothing in this world that feeds your soul and satisfies the inner man like the Spirit of God coming down in a service like this and filling the hearts of the people and the building. My heart is full of love tonight.
God bless you.
As I've looked over this beautiful congregation, and I see hoary hairs that have spent their life in the preaching of the gospel.
Yes.
And that stirs my heart deeply.
Right.
I see those that are still astray in sin.
Right.
And that touches my heart very deeply.
Yes.
We're here tonight in the presence of Almighty God. He's looking down upon us.
Right.
And a book of remembrance is written of those that called upon His name.
Yes. Right.
He knows the need of every person in this house tonight.
Yes, He does.
He knows every pain that you have felt for this past year. He knows the feeling of your heart at this very moment, in this very hour.
Right.
Man looketh on the outward appearance, but our God looks on the heart.
Right.
And He knows the need of every person in this house tonight.
Yes.
We pray that God will come down as He already has and meet the need of everybody in this house. God loved His creation. When He spoke the world into existence, He made a beautiful world. And He created man in His own likeness and in His own image.
He did.
But immediately, Satan came on the scene and deceived man and told him that if you disobey God, you won't surely die, like he said. And man was tempted to obey Satan. And he took of the forbidden fruit and he was cast out of that beautiful Garden of Eden. Cast out from the presence of Almighty God. God would come down there and walk with them in the cool of the day. And they would have fellowship. But after he disobeyed God, he was ashamed. And he went and hid himself. And he drew apart from God because his sins and iniquities had separated between him and his God. And God put a flaming sword at the entrance to the garden to keep the way of the tree of life, lest man should enter in and eat of that tree and live forever and have eternal life. God is a righteous God. God is a just God. God is a sin-avenging God. And He in His righteousness and in His judgment and in His justice could not accept sin and let a person have eternal life at the same time. Those are two separate things. And there's been a line drawn through the ages. All the way from the Garden of Eden, right on through Calvary, right on down to this very night. There's a battle line that's been drawn. On one side of that line marches the forces of evil, Satan and all the devils of hell. And they have their people that are working against God. But on the other side of that line, there is a God that loves you, that wants you to have joy and peace and happiness. And God has always had the people that was declaring His name. And on that line stands an old rugged cross. And there on that rugged cross came our Savior, the lovely Son of God, sent down from God out of heaven to purchase for you and I our eternal salvation. I think of some of those good people that were on the good side of that line, pulling for the right. I think of old Enoch. He had a testimony that his life pleased God, and he was translated that he should not taste death. There was another good man by the name of Abraham, and he had a testimony that his life pleased God. Rather that it was accounted to him for righteousness because he had faith in God, and by faith he received the righteousness of God. I think of Daniel, a man in whom there was an excellent spirit. Had a good spirit in that man. There's been prophets like Samuel and prophets like Isaiah and Ezekiel and Malachi that have declared to the people, how that God would bring salvation to them.
Yes.
But on the other side of that line, the devil has had Pharaoh. He's had people that have turned their back on God. There was even a king in Israel that the evil spirit entered into him.
Yeah.
And he became very angry and mad. And he would try to kill David, that sweet singer of Israel.
Yeah.
That's why sanctified people say, sanctified people don't get mad.
That's
they
right.
don't want to hurt anybody.
No. That's right.
They
yes,
don't
Lord.
Want to throw anything at anybody.
No.
We
right.
believe that we've got the Spirit of the living God.
Right. Right.
Satan has sought in every way to destroy God's love in the world. Whenever God in the fullness of time sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that He might redeem them that were under the law, Satan immediately set out to destroy that precious child. And he put it in the heart of Herod to kill all the babies around Jerusalem and Bethlehem and Judea. Can you imagine anything more heartless, more horrible than slaying all the babies in attempt to get rid of the Son of God?
Right.
But God picked him up, carried him down to Egypt until the time appointed, and then brought him back. And that lovely Son of God went about everywhere doing good.
That's right.
And he spoke beautiful words of life to those people that heard him and listened to him. But the time came whenever that line began to draw a little tighter. And those people that heard his saying said, those are hard sayings. How can we hear them? And many went back and walked no longer with Jesus. The numbers got to be a few. Then he said to the 12, will you also go away? And Peter said unto him, to whom shall we go? Thou only hast the words of everlasting life. But the time came when even Peter, though his determination was good, he had not the power to stand up for Jesus. And as the time came, Pilate was working with the people. The people to whom Jesus was sent refused him and rejected him. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But to them that did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. But they all forsook him and fled. Pilate tried to wash his hands and said, I'm innocent of the blood of this just man. But I'm afraid he went to eternity guilty because he consented to the death of our Lord. But there on that line stood an old rugged cross. Let me read you just a few verses here in the 19th Psalm. The heavens declare the glory of God.
That's right. Yes, to do.
And the firmament showeth his handiwork.
Right.
Day unto day uttereth speech.
Right.
And night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. God has shown himself to you. There's not a person in this congregation tonight that can say, I have not seen God's glory. I have not seen the handiwork of God. I've not seen God in any form. You've all seen it. The heavens declare His glory. The firmament show His handiwork. And the fourth verse, their line. There's a dividing line. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. The New Testament tells us, have they not all heard? Yea, the sound has gone out into all the world, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust.
That's right.
Do you know worldly lust is one of the most difficult things for a person to conquer today?
That's right. Yes, it is.
But the Bible has taught us that forsaking, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly when in this present world. The Bible would not tell us to do anything that was impossible for us to do. So since God says that is the way, He says, I'll make it possible for you to live that way.
Yeah.
I'll send my son into the world.
Right.
Yeah.
And he'll pay the price for our sins and for our redemption.
Yeah.
One old prophet got a picture of the line hanging down from heaven.
Yeah.
Old Amos saw the plumb line.
Yeah.
He saw a wall built by the plumb line.
Yeah. That's right.
And he said, I'm going to set a plumb line in the house of Israel.
Yeah.
And I'll not pass this way again.
Yeah.
It's going to be fixed. It's going to be settled.
Yeah.
It's going to be made the way perfect into heaven.
Yeah.
And it will not change.
Right.
God's judgment is going to be dealt with.
Right.
And God will satisfy his righteous judgment.
Yes.
Jesus, the perfect Son of God, lived a life that was pure and holy. He did no sin. He lived righteously. And he lived godly in this present world to show us the way, to lead us and to guide us in the way that's good and the way that's righteous.
Right.
Tonight, that line is extended through the 20th century. And which side of that line are you on tonight?
Yeah. Right.
Are you walking with those that love and serve God, that are trying to build up peaceable kingdom in this world? Or are you sadly among the group that is led by Satan, that's against the things of God? I don't believe anyone wants to be on that side.
No.
Do you?
No.
I think everyone wants to be on the good side. And Jesus came so that you could cross over the line.
Yeah.
So that you could get on the right side.
That's right.
If we could see the battle that raged all through the generations, we read over in Job how that there came a day when the sons of God met together and presented themselves before the Lord.
Yeah.
And Satan met there in their midst.
Yeah.
He was right there to defy and to try to destroy.
Right.
There was a war going on.
Yeah.
There's been a war going on since man sinned in the Garden of Eden.
Right.
The dictionary tells us that a war is two opposing forces fighting with each other to accomplish some end.
Yeah.
And God has been fighting with Satan to accomplish the end, that we might live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world.
Yeah.
That we might be delivered from carnality.
Right. Yeah.
That we might be delivered from the bondage of sin.
Yes.
And his son went to the cross to satisfy God's requirement. God worked with people throughout the thousands of years before Christ came.
Right.
He raised up Moses, a proper child he was, and told him to build a tabernacle after he had delivered the children of Israel out into their journey to the land of Canaan. Gave them the plans for a tabernacle. And he said, Moses, if you'll see that you build this thing according to the plan. And if you'll build this thing according to the plan, I will come down.
That's right.
And I will dwell in the midst of the tabernacle. I'll dwell among people. I know they sinned. I know they rebel. But the love of God still wanted to come down and meet with mankind. He wanted his spirit to be on earth, right down among men. He put it into the holiest of all. And he put the curtains around it. And he put the walls around it. And he put the fences around it. And he put the priest in there. He put in the place for the burnt offerings,
that's
which are a type of the cross
of
Christ.
Yes,
in that tabernacle there was shewbread, which was to remind us of what Jesus told us later when he said, I am the bread of life. He came down that we might eat of his flesh and partake of his blood. And he said if we would do that, we would have life and we would have it more abundantly.
Yes.
Jesus went to that cross.
Yes, he did.
And in that hour, no one
stood
with him. Everybody forsook him and fled.
Yes.
Over in Revelations, it tells us, there's a little phrase over there that's always stirred my heart, where it said he trod the winepress alone.
That's right. Yes, he did.
Yes.
I read up a little bit on what a winepress is like. We don't see any in this day and time. But in around Jerusalem and Judea is the most fruitful vineyards that there is in the whole world. It's the ideal place where beautiful, large grapes are grown. It was so big when the spies came over there, they saw a bunch of grapes so big it took two men to carry them.
That's right.
And those things nearly all get ripe at one time. It all comes to maturity right together and spoils very quickly. But the people developed large wine vats. It would be something, I guess, about like a swimming pool. And they would pick their grapes and put them in that thing and fill it up. And they would get the young men of the city, men who were in good health, men who had no cuts or bruises and had no sores or anything that was not clean. And those men would get in there and trod those grapes with their bare feet until they had crushed every one of them. Yeah. The sins of the world were gathered in a heap.
The Lord,
sins of the centuries and the ages were piled up before the cross of Calvary.
Right.
And our God looked out upon that sin of the world, even down to you and me tonight.
That's right.
While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And alone he crushed everything.
Yes,
everything that stood between us and God. Every sin, every opposition was crushed by the foot of our Savior. Alone he tread that winepress. And he shed his blood for our redemption. And the blood that flows from Calvary, it's flowing right through this tabernacle. The power in the blood of Jesus will wash you whiter than snow. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be made white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Let me tell you, friend, tonight, Jesus loves you. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. And on that cross of Calvary, he met Satan face to face.
Yes,
and he conquered death, hell, and the grave. And he rose victorious, a conquering king. Tonight the war is over. The victory has been won. The victory is yours for the asking. If you will just ask for it, he will give you the victory tonight over sin and everything that holds you back. And you can cross over to the victory side and join the forces marching on to victory. From the pages of American history, there's a story that I remembered that happened, I guess, a little over 100 years ago. Near the end of the Civil War, that war that tore our country apart, it was really a traumatic time. Families against families, brothers against brothers. Let me tell you, division is a terrible thing.
It is. That's right.
And near the end of that war, when the South was losing, and it was apparent that their cause was about gone, many battle-weary soldiers, hungry, ill-fed, and ill-clothed, would desert and go over to the Union forces where they could have protection. They'd just surrender. They were giving up. It happened so many times that Secretary Stanton, the Secretary of War, issued a proclamation that the Union forces would not take any more deserters. You can't take them in. We hadn't got time to mess with them. There was one battle-weary soldier that deserted his beleaguered little troops, and he went over to the Union forces, and he went in and said, "I surrender." And they showed him the proclamation that they couldn't take him in. Said, "You've got to go back." And he couldn't go back. His comrades would kill him for desertion. He wasn't in either army. He was rejected by both. Nobody wanted him. Let me tell you, that's a bad place to be in. Where you feel like you haven't got anybody that cares for you or anybody that loves you. That's a bad place to be in.
Right.
He went off into the woods to himself, and there nearly starved to death and nearly froze. But after days and weeks, he finally, in complete desperation, came out just to take whatever would happen to him. And he got up to the road and somebody came by. And he said, "Can't you give me a little bit of food? I'm a soldier." And the man said to him, "Don't you know the war is over? It's all over. You don't have to hide anymore. You don't have to stay out there and starve anymore. You don't have to be cold anymore. Go to the nearest town and get all the food you want. They're feeding everybody." Let me tell you, that boy went off happy that day when he found out the war was over. I'd like for somebody to find out here tonight that that struggle that's going on in your soul, it's over. Jesus has made it so that you can have peace and you can have complete victory. Jesus left you in his will.
Yes, he did.
He willed his mother to John.
Yes, he did.
And he said, Mother, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. He willed his body to Joseph of Arimathea. He yielded his spirit up to the God that had given it. And he put you in his will too. And he said unto them, My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I to you. Neither let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. If there's anybody tonight whose heart is the least bit troubled, Jesus wants to give you a joyous heart. He wants to give you a happy heart. He wants to give you salvation tonight. We want to close this service with prayer. This is the most serious part of the camp meeting. It's the part that we want to request that everybody in this house pray. Pray earnestly now. There are many souls who've been in Satan's clutches too long. Too long he has held them there. And he will not willingly release you. He will not willingly let you go. You've got to break away. You've got to make a decision to come. God is calling for you tonight. Just a little over a year ago, there was a terrible disaster. I believe it was in Kansas City. A big modern hotel built with millions of dollars, designed beautifully, designed by qualified engineers. But on a certain Friday night, I believe it was, there was over 1,500 people in the lobby of that hotel, and they were having a tea party. I don't think God was there that night. I think the wrong crowd had gathered. But in the midst of that tea party, something very tragic happened that night, and 151 souls instantly went into eternity, perhaps lost. A terrible tragedy. You just wouldn't think that in our modern age anybody could make a construction mistake like that. It would be so dangerous. It was designed well. The plans looked good. But on the job, they made some structural changes. They began to change the plan after it had been handed down. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, the plan is perfect.
That's right. Yes, it is.
Don't tamper with the plan.
That's right. Yes, Lord.
Don't take any shortcuts.
No. That's right.
Don't think that you can get to heaven on half fare.
That's right. That's
you cannot fool God.
You can't. No.
Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
That's right.
If you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting.
That's right.
You can't change the plans.
Right.
The city engineer of Kansas City approved the change. I wonder how he feels tonight. He approved the change. Somebody in today might say you can get by with a little bit less. But let me tell you, the testing time comes.
That's right. That's the Lord.
The strain, the weight, the load,
that's right.
The test of time will come. Every man's work will be tested. No one will escape.
No one.
And the tragedy of that hour was so unexpected, but it was so final. But tonight we have a plan. We have a church that's perfect church.
That's the Lord.
It's a glorious church.
Yes, it is. That's
it's a wonderful fellowship.
That's the Lord.
I don't know what's wrong with anybody finds fault with. I just don't know what's wrong.
That's right. That's
God has made a perfect plan.
That's the Lord. That's right.
The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every man that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. It was the aim and the mission of our church in 1892 to spread scriptural holiness throughout this land. And they started out on a course, and they reached many of you that are here tonight with the everlasting gospel. Our mission has not changed. We're still declaring the same gospel tonight that will save a person from sin, that will lift them up out of the miry clay and set them on the highway that leads to life eternal. I'm so happy tonight that God has shared this wonderful plan of salvation with us. I haven't read the scripture that I had turned down to read tonight, But I do feel like God's presence is in this place. And we want to close this service with prayer. Let us sing a